Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Zach.
It was so great to see you at our inaugural meeting of Introverts Anonymous.
It was great. I was so glad I was able to come.
Yeah, so it was very nice. I was very happy to have you and see all the other faces as well. So
yeah,
Friday night, probably not the best place to have this conversation, but what is it that you wanted to bring to the hot seat today?
Well, let's see. I'm sort of at that point where I didn't finish a job. I, for the first time in my career, got fired from my job, which was quite a gut punch, especially in this at this time, and also financially just horrible. So I've been
very sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks. I've been recovering from that, just trying to keep my self-esteem on track. But that was pretty awful. It was I was brought into a situation where I had not nearly the amount of prep I'm supposed to have. They told me they would have my back, knowing that I didn't have the prep that I was supposed to have. I was told to just drive the bus. Like, I was almost like over instructed how to be my job. Mm-hmm. And then when I did what they told me to do, and then the director came in that I was going to have, that's not what she wanted at all. And so she was like, I need somebody who's going to come in like gangbusters and be one of those ADs that's like, you know, and I'm not that AD anyway. I'm just not. So, you know, and in this industry, a director can fire a first AD for zero reason. So that's pretty much what happened. And so it sucked because the whole thing was like being connected to Apple TV and like this producer was supposed to have more jobs. And so it was a whole nasty mess.
I'm very, very sorry to hear that. And maybe this isn't what today's conversation is about, but the part that I at least want to spend 1 minute on this, which is you said it was a really big hit to your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I want to help you with that a little bit, because I have a feeling it might be connected with what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
From everything that you shared with me, were you set up for success in this job and you failed?
Was it? No.
It sounds like you were set up for failure from minute one.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. So yeah. That doesn't mean that you're not human and it's not going to hurt and it's not going to rock your self-esteem. But from everything you shared, it just sounds like it was a really bad fit all around. You're not the kind of person that they were looking for. It wasn't the kind of team that you want to collaborate with. And all of your strengths and all of the value, those are things they didn't value in return.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't change the paycheck. Doesn't change the fact that it might have led to future opportunities. All that just sucks. And we can just say that fucking sucks. Yeah. Right. But I just want to make sure that it doesn't dig too deep into your psyche and you start questioning yourself, because it really sounds like it had nothing to do with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I keep going back in my mind, imagining, well, what if so-and-so did this job? What would they have done? How would they have done better? Or like, you know, and just that kind of thing. So it's hard not to have it. And it's also the first time this ever happened. And I was totally blindsided. I had no idea. So yeah. And you know, there was no like conversation about, let's talk about this. Nothing. It was just over. So it's just hard, but yeah, I'm working through it. I do know intellectually, I guess, that for the most part, maybe not 100%, but that it wasn't me, or it was me though. Cause obviously the director didn't gel. We just didn't. Mm-hmm. So it was me in the sense that we just weren't a good fit. But it wasn't me, I don't think, in my AD skills.
Yeah. So, and it's no different than if you were looking at personal relationships. Just right. Because you go out and date people and you realize they're not the right fit, somebody might say, oh, it's because I'm a horrible person and what's wrong with me? But others would say, this just didn't work. Like, they seem like a nice person. I'm a nice person. We just did not gel. Or they wanted me to become somebody that I'm not. I'm not willing to do that. So I think the fact that you said this is the kind of AD that they were looking for and I'm not that person, there's a lot of confidence in that, being able to say, I'm not going to do these things because that's not how I do it. That's not who I am as an AD, right? Yeah. Short term, that sucks. That's a really shitty checkers move. That's not a bad chess move because you're pretty clear on who you are.
Right.
Right. So I want you to walk away thinking to yourself that this probably had very little to do with you and it was about them. And they frankly set you up for failure. And what I've seen over and over is that after you get fired, you probably will find that one or two other people might get fired as well because they need a scapegoat. They need somebody that they can get rid of. Yeah. I've never been in your world specifically, but I see this with editors over and over where you have a show where they just can't crack it. We're not going to get rid of the showrunner. So they need fresh eyes. Right. So they bring in the fresh eye. Well, that doesn't work. Fire the editor. Get another one. It's a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the first time that I was fired, I was just like, what the hell? And I knew that it wasn't the right fit. My gut instinct from the very first week is this is not the kind of show for me. Like, I don't gel. I'm not understanding their perspective. So it was very mutual. But I was still really shaken up by it. And I called one of my closest friends and mentors that's super, super high level A-list. And his response was, welcome to the club, my friend. You haven't really made it in the industry until you've been fired at least once. And that was a huge shock to me. He's like, that means that you're doing something right, because now you're at a high enough level where you know who you are and you know what you bring to the table and you're just not a good fit for them. And they're using you as the scapegoat. So that was a really big eye-opening experience. So just to bring a little lighthearted nature to it, welcome to the club, Sam.
Thank you. Thank you.
So,
yes.
Having said that, what is it that we actually want to dig into today? And I want to make sure to give you plenty of time, even if that means we go a couple minutes over.
Thanks. I guess it's just sort of what to focus on right now, because, you know, it was thrust into unemployment all of a sudden, also at a time where the holidays are coming up, you know, and then suddenly when I didn't think I had to worry about money for a while because I thought my debts were going to get paid off, all of a sudden my debts are in my face. I created more debt because I got a new job thinking, you know, it's a really tough situation. So like the things that I have sort of on my, you know, to-do list, I guess you would say, is, you know, I want to create a new income stream because I feel like I don't want to be in this position all the time. And like you always say, I mean, this is a new world. We have to have something else going on. It's just not going to, maybe it'll sustain me, but I don't want to put all my eggs in this basket anymore. So there's a couple of options there that I've thought about. I have my feature film that I've been trying to get financed forever. I'm a little disappointed in the producer. I'm going to talk to him after this session about why I'm disappointed in him. and what we can do or not do to continue working together. So if we, whether we do or not, one of the things that I realize is that I need to get more involved. I need to make this film happen. I cannot wait for anybody else. I can't even, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't anymore. So there's something that I have, there are things I have to do there, you know, and they're not things that I'm great at because it involves making phone calls to production companies, figuring out how to raise money, like the producing end that I'm going to have to put that hat on, which I don't like to do, but I will. And then I'm writing a new feature film because I'm always trying to work on new things. And then I need a job, like maybe an AD job. And then I also have, you know, the current like substitute teaching, like, should I go back to work immediately and try to hit that hard right now? So there's just a lot of like, what the fuck, you know, and I've been kind of focusing on the like getting a new revenue, I think, because I was angry. And so I was like, fuck you, I'm going to start this business. And so I like went into that, but I'm doing all of it, but I don't feel like I'm doing it, any of it well right now. Mm. Part of it's emotional. Part of it's feeling a little scattered.
Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation, part of the genesis of everything that I'm doing now came from the exact same mentality. Fuck you, Empire. You don't own me. I'm going to have options so you can never do this to me again. So needless to say, I can relate to that, right? Yep. And I think everybody here can relate to the sentiment of like, what the fuck now? I think we're all kind of feeling that. So here's where I always want to start. I want to talk about importance versus urgency because they're two very, very different things, right? Everything that you're talking about, I know is important to you, but I want to start with the most bare bones level of urgency, which is, what is Mr. Bank Account telling you? And you don't need to share anything personal, numbers or whatnot, but what is the urgency of I must have a paycheck coming in immediately?
I mean, it's context too, because I can survive till after the holidays. I'm only saying that because, you know, if I jump into a paycheck job right now, like if I start subbing, that's really all I'm going to do. I'm not going to make any headway on anything else. So what that does is it locks me into making money, but never, that's not enough money. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do I start laying track for something that could potentially make more? Sure, I could stop a little bit of bleeding right now with doing that. But subbing also is something that I have to get back on the phone call list. That'll take a couple of days of like onboarding too. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to answer your question, but I feel like, so I don't know. I don't know if the urgency is like, I mean, these are all potential income streams in a way, right? My new feature, my old feature, my getting AD work, my, you know, new business that has nothing to do with the entertainment industry, all those things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know. Money is kind of urgent, but a paycheck at the moment is less urgent because I feel like I could give myself a runway to a path to something better. Does that make sense?
Yep. So we'll zoom out and we'll think about the bigger picture, but I want to start by myopically focusing on what is the absolute lowest hanging fruit, fastest path to money for you right now?
Well, it's either ADing or subbing, I guess.
Right. So those are the ones where as far as like having to prove yourself, this is a new arena for me. I don't have the experience or the credits yet. When it comes to either being a substitute or it comes to being an AD, it's all about, I just need to get in front of the right people and make sure they know I'm available.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So is there one that would require less effort than the other? Would it be faster? And again, I realize that not all of this is within your control. It's about the availability of the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Are they looking for subs? Are they looking for ADs? Right. So that part, I understand, I'm not negating that, but for the sake of this conversation, which one requires the least amount of effort to get to a paycheck?
ADing probably. Because
how so? What's different?
Well, because subbing, I have to deal with the public school system, and it takes a minute to get up and running. Plus, I don't like it. So it's like the energy of like doing things to do something that you don't like, particularly, is harder. Mm-hmm. It's like walking through mud versus maybe texting outreach messages and going through the digital files of what's shooting that my agent sends me, which I haven't actually been doing.
All right. Well, we'll put a pin in that for a second.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at the absolute fastest path to a paycheck, where it's both going to require the least amount of energy or like startup or like having to do relationships or whatever it is, it sounds like the fastest path to a paycheck is doing more AD work. And
I can't say that because I could do all that and nothing could materialize for months. Subbing, right. I could do all that and I know I'll be working in 2 weeks.
Okay. So that's a good differentiation, because that's what I wanted to acknowledge next is, given the market, which one is the fastest path? And it sounds like the fastest path to more guaranteed income is subbing versus being an AD.
Correct.
Now, how about the payoff? The difference in what you're actually seeing in your bank account, subbing versus ADing on a daily basis. What's the difference?
It's about, you know, 4 times the money, you know, ADing versus subbing. So, you know, and I can't sub every day. I'll blow my brains out. So,
and we don't want that.
No. So, you know, like it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference, you know?
Right. So what I'm looking at is effort versus payoff, risk versus reward.
Yeah.
Right. And right now I'm looking at this as there's risk in spending my time focusing on any one thing because I'm not spending it on something else.
Yes.
But I want to balance risk with reward. So right. If it's a matter of, I'm just going to simplify this, where it's a matter of, I'm going to spend 40 hours, 5 full-time days, 40 hours doing all the networking and outreach that I need to become an AD versus 40 hours of doing all the networking outreach and setup and administrative work to become a substitute teacher, the value of those 40 hours is very, very different. Yeah. One of them, this is something that's probably not going to take a tremendous amount of effort. The other one is like walking through mud. Right. So just the value of those hours is different, and what it does to sap your energy is very different. But the one that takes more energy has a 25% less return if you're successful.
Yes.
Right. So if you're going to focus on one thing right now, it seems to me the lowest hanging fruit where there's the least amount of risk and the most reward short term is just reinvigorate your existing network, go through all the grids that your agent sent you. So that whether it's you're doing it for an hour or for a week, when you're done with it, if you don't have a job, you're like, check that off the list. There ain't shit out there. Now I can do something else. But I would start. That's where I would start. Because what's the level of confidence that you have right now that you absolutely know for a fact there is no opportunities for you as an assistant director?
Confidence that there's none? No, I think there could be some.
Mm-hmm. So at the very least, if you put in the work, wouldn't it be nice for you to know 100% there isn't anything out there? Not that it isn't scary, but at least the confidence that it is no longer worth me putting my time and effort towards this because there's nothing here at the moment. Now I can shift my attention to subbing or building this other business or working on this feature without that lingering voice. Yeah, but there might be an AD job out there. I don't know. I just really don't want to send the outreach emails and I don't want to go through the grids. Like, wouldn't it be nice to get rid of that voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems to me that that's going to be the simplest thing for you to do. You've done it before. There's no learning curve. There's no massive barrier. You have an extensive network. And with your agent, you have access to all the potential real opportunities that are out there.
Right.
So how would it feel to just dedicate whatever amount of time makes the most sense to you to very clearly answer the question, are there opportunities for me right now or not? Would that be helpful?
And it wouldn't really actually take very long.
Yeah, this isn't a matter of you're going to do this between now and the holiday season and, you know, late December.
A couple days. It's not.
Yeah, realistically, I was going to say, how long is it going to take you? It's probably going to take a few days, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You put the list together, you go through the grids, you start sending text messages, you got to write a few outreach emails. But my guess is that you're going to know if you were to do this now, if you were to do it between now and next Wednesday before the Thanksgiving break, I bet you're going to have more clarity on what's out there and what isn't.
Yeah. That's right. Probably true.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that realistically, as I'm sure you know, with this industry, the odds of actually being on a set and working between now and January, very slim. Because it's unless it's like a fill-in, like, oh shit, we've got somebody that, you know, whatever happened and we need somebody to fill in for a week. Like, yeah, that could happen. But in general, most productions are not going to ramp up between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No.
So what you're doing is you're planting the seeds for the new year. So that when things do come along, you're like, oh yeah, Sam reached out to me last month.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, you're going to know you've done what you can within your control to seek out those opportunities that are the lowest hanging risk with the highest paying reward in return.
Right. Okay.
Then you've got more energy to actually focus it on things that you're interested in. Or if you're like, all right, I did the AD thing. Now let me put a couple of days into the substitute teaching thing. But here's where the bigger risk is with substitute teaching that I'm afraid of. It's not just the amount of time and energy to do the administrative operations or outreach. It's when you said, I can't do anything else. I'm very afraid of that. It's one thing when you're taking a paycheck job to say, yeah, I mean, I'm just bagging groceries at Ralph's. Like, it's not that hard. I get to talk to people. I'm on my feet. I get some exercise. And it's like 35 hours a week.
Right.
Some ways a paycheck job can be somebody's dream job. Because it takes very little energy. It pays the bills. And you have all this extra free time to do work. Mm-hmm. Right? I had a show that I worked on years ago called Shooter for USA Network, where I was offered Shooter. And I was offered like huge A-list shows after all the success of season one of Empire. And people would look at my resume and they're like, why did you take Shooter? I'm like, because it was walking distance from my house, which is impossible in this industry. It was a really cushy schedule with a 4-editor rotation, where essentially between picture lock and getting dailies, you had about a week where you're paid for that week with nothing to do. And it was, for the most part, a 9-to-6 or a 9-to-7 job. So what I did with all that free time, I started building this program. That's when I built my first online course. And if that had been 80 hours a week in a paycheck job, I wouldn't be where I am today. So my fear is you put this effort towards substitute teaching, but it completely devours your soul and there's no room left for you to focus on the feature, focus on the other opportunities. And now you're just trapped on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, that's my concern too. I mean, yeah. I can try it, you know, sign back up for it once I do the AD thing and see if it's as brutal as it seems like it will be. Maybe it won't be, but having done it a few times, it probably will be.
Yeah. So you have some sense. If it were a matter of I've never done it before, I'd say absolutely try. Do all the legwork, get your name on the list, try it a couple of times, see if it's a fit. Maybe you're going to discover that, oh my God, I actually want to be a teacher. This is the most amazing thing ever. Or you realize I never want to be a classroom again the rest of my life ever. And I hate children. You never know, right? Mm-hmm. But if you've done it enough, you kind of know what's coming. But I just want to make sure you have enough presence and objectivity to know that if you're not careful, it'll get you sucked in. And now not only are you doing this job you don't like, there's no room for you to build all the pathways to do the things that you do want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, and then, you know, that's sort of that's the A of plan thing. And then the B plan is kind of the, you know, how much should I focus on starting this, like some sort of a business because I'm so pissed off versus focusing on my creative work again.
Yep. And by the way, I want you to use that right now. That energy of like, I am pissed off and I want to start my own thing. Use that. So what I'm not saying in this conversation is forget everything else that you want to do and only focus on reinvigorating your network and finding AD work.
Right.
What I want you to do is cross that off the list. If right now the urgency is I really, really need a paycheck, acknowledge that. That's a real thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But before you lose it, I want you to use the urgency. Even if it's a negative energy, even if it's anger, that's motivation. There's a difference between motivation and inspiration. Inspiration is this really great feeling. I'm so inspired to go climb a mountain. Motivation can come from a very negative place. Use it.
I've worked out every day since I got fired.
Good. So that's a great way to let the anger motivate you to turn it into something positive. Use that anger to start putting some of that energy towards these things that you want to build, even if it's just barely starting. Just so it's something that's not an idea you're going to start someday. It's started.
Yeah.
So I would use that.
Yeah, no, I have been. I mean, mostly I've been using it to investigate a new business because that's been that motivation of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was torn if, like, again, that's the other part where I was torn about, which maybe we don't have enough time to talk about it, but was really between, should I be focusing on that or should I just be, like, hitting it hard with my creative stuff and, like, not doing that thing? But I seem to be pulled towards doing that thing, so it's confusing to me right now.
Yes, and when you're being pulled towards something, by and large, I would say acknowledge that, even if that means you have to temper the amount of time or energy because of other things. But what we're talking a lot about right now in the mastermind is this idea that we have a lot on our plate. We're spinning a lot of plates, but we also have to wear a lot of different hats. These are very common metaphors that we use, right? Mm-hmm. So what I don't want you to do is say, I'm only wearing one hat, and that is finding work as an AD hat, right? You can decide how you want to portion this out throughout your day. So if we say that, if we're going to look at it just for the math, we're going to say it's a 10-hour day, right? It's not 10 hours is going towards outreach and getting a job as an AD. But if we know that's the most urgent thing, then say, yeah, I'm going to spend 6 hours a day doing all the work necessary to make sure that there are no opportunities for me as an AD. But maybe I'm going to spend an hour a day picking away at doing all the administrative crap so that if a sub job comes along, I get it. But then 2 to 3 hours a day are deep focused work, really working on the thing that I'm being pulled towards right now. It's about finding that proportion.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not saying do one thing and forget everything else. It's just a matter of if you can do only one thing and you have to prioritize, I think your most urgent need is confirming that there's no work out there as an AD.
Yeah.
That's my feeling anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I feel like I have the bandwidth to do A and B. Like I can do looking for an AD job / substitute teaching over here. And then it's creating a new business / getting my film financed and writing over here, because more than that is too much. So if I prioritize AD work over here right now, I have kind of room to like either do this new business exploration or my feature film, like that stuff, focus on that more. So that's
so don't spread yourself too thin.
No, I don't want to.
Right? But if you can prioritize, this is the most urgent, but I'm going to give myself a little bit of time for the second thing, and I'm going to pick away at the third thing. I think it's going to you're going to have the feeling that I have a little bit more control over these things. Yeah. But I don't feel so scattered because I'm trying to do everything. This is basically my eternal struggle, is always feeling like I'm too scattered because I want to do everything at once. I want to spin all the plates and I want to wear all the hats and I want to do it all at the same time.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm not wasting my creative energy starting a new business just because I'm angry, I guess is my point. Or since I already have a creative project, you know what I mean? Like, but one leads to money, one leads to maybe money, but it's what my passion is, you know? So I'm having trouble with those two also.
Yeah. And this is going to be a giant spectrum. I'm year 10 into transitioning from making a living as a film and television editor to making a living with an online business. This is literally the 10th year of trying to crack this code, but the spectrum and the balance of it has completely swung in the opposite direction. Where before it was, well, I'm going to pick away at this for a few weeks, or, you know, in between gigs, I'm going to spend a couple of weeks working on this or that. Oh, now it's going to be nights and weekends. I'm going to focus on doing the Fitness and Pulse podcast. Well, now I'm going to actually say no to a job, so I have 2 entire months so I can build a website, right? And now it was, there were 2 years between editing season 5 and season 6 of Cobra Kai. And this is what I did for 2 years full time. Now it's, I'm burning all the boats. There is no more editing and I got to figure this out because this is now what I do. This is now my career path, is doing this all day, every day, which is still scary. But I didn't go from, I only make a living editing TV on Monday morning. And now on Friday morning, this is the only way I make a living is doing this. It's been a very long spectrum of being able to balance those things. So for you, you're planting seeds for the future while you can also make sure that you can support yourself in the present.
Got it. Okay.
So is any of that helpful at all?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'll probably do this beginning part that we just talked about, and then I'll probably schedule another hot seat to talk about the other shit because it's a lot.
Right. Okay, good. Well, that sounds like a plan.
Okay.
So very good to see you again.
You too. Thank you.